whole health care thing that was passed, people are screaming and hollering that their liberty is taken away, which is true. But there is one liberty that nobody can take away, and that's our liberty in Christ. You know, we have a Statue of Liberty for our country in New York. The Statue of Liberty for a grace believer, people of the body of Christ, is the empty tomb. A lot of people get hung up on having a cross as their Statue of Liberty. But our freedom didn't come at the cross. It was part of it. But our final freedom came at the empty tomb, because that's when he conquered everything he died for. So I thought I was going to talk about liberty and kind of take it into the message of the cross. I tell you what, I struggled the hardest ever I did to get something together. I don't know, I had a brain freeze. And I got to thinking, you know, this is the most important thing we have, is liberty. And the definition of liberty is freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions, power or right of doing, thinking, speaking, etc., according to choice. That sounds like pretty free. And a lot of churches won't give you all that. Turn to Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1. We were down in Did I spell liberty wrong? Somebody claims I did. The what? Oh. Okay, Jerry Jones. I'll fix you. Anyway, Galatians 5, verse 1. We were down in Chattanooga, and we had a great weekend down there. Went to church there at Steve's church, and Jerry Jones taught Sunday school, then Steve preached. We had a great time there. But nope. Galatians 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Is it possible to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage? It is, because Paul tells us to be not entangled. And I also find it interesting, he says, tells you to stand fast in your liberty. Turn to Colossians 2. Actually, I want to read a few more on that. Let's read to verse 4. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. What is the thing that that religious people want you to do? They want you to get entangled again with the law, right? Anything like, oh, you got to be baptized, or you got to be a church member, or you got to confess your sin or repent, and you can only have so many eyelets on your shoes, or you got to have a beard, or you can't have a beard, or certain haircut, or you know, it's really ridiculous when you really stop and think. The bondage that they think they're keeping you free from the world when they are the world. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 4. Is that what I wanted? And this I say, lest any man shall beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We are to walk in Christ Jesus, who has given us our liberty. People are going to try and take it away from you. Galatians 4. People hate to see people happy, it seems. They hate to see it so simple. Yeah, they don't like freedom. And you know, I've been accused on a thread here lately of taking everything out of context. That's what people do that are in bondage. They can't understand it, so they have to say you're taking it out of context because it looks too free. And he said, you always got to look at it in context, and he takes a verse out of Matthew where it says that Judas went and hanged himself, and he jumps over to Luke and says, and Jesus said, go do thou likewise. He said, that's what I'm talking about. You're taking things out of context. Is Jesus telling you you're going to hang yourself? And I told him, I said, your problem is you can't find that anywhere else in the Word. Everything I believe, I can back up through the whole Word. So yeah, he's a little bit radical. But go to Galatians chapter 4. People hate when we're free. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Oh, sorry. 21. You guys should have known that. Yeah. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? But that's what they want to put us under. What did he say in Galatians chapter 5? He says, stand fast, wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's not the law, it's Christ hath made us free. Romans chapter 3. Verse 20. Remember in Galatians 4:21, it was talking about, let's go back to it. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Romans 3 verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Is there any freedom in the law? No. No flesh is justified in his sight. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Man, I hope I can keep everything together. It was kind of there at one time. Okay, and this is what people do. I was talking a little bit earlier about baptism, church membership, communion, all that. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Why do they want you under the law? They want to glory in that. I was telling the guys down there, I got to talking to a doctor. He's a retired doctor, and he's been saved for 30 years. And he came out of the Baptist circle. And we were talking about how they are so messed up in their mind with what they believe is truth. And I said, the thing about the Baptist difference versus the Mennonite difference is they're both messed up in the mind, but they want you to be, the Mennonites also show it. Like, you'll see the difference. They also put it on the outside. What is that? What does this verse say? They may glory in your flesh. Now, Matthew 15. This is another thing they want you to do. Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Again, they make their own law and they have their own doctrine. That they... Doctrines. Yeah. That's what they do. They want you under bondage. They want you under their cap. You know, we were talking, a lot of people have a lot of misguided romantic ideas about the Amish because they read these books and they get very romantic with their lifestyle. Well, we blew a few people's bubble this weekend. Poor Mary Atwood, she just was in awe about what, she just thought it's the most coolest thing ever until she found out the other side of it. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. You know, we were also talking then a little bit how, you know, these churches require baptism, and in the church I was raised in, they would do you through the instruction class after you responded at a revival meeting, like they said. They would do the instruction class, and then they would go to the church after you're through the instruction class to see if the church felt you're mature enough to be baptized, because with baptism was an automatic church membership. And they taught you that you have to be baptized to be saved. So they had you. They had you under their thumb. It was an automatic. And boy, I tell you what, when it was starting in my 20s, 19, in that age, the young people started to want to be baptized without the membership. And oh, that was a big concern, because they didn't have them under their thumb. So, oh, my mom fussed big time about one of my buddies who was baptized and won the church member. She couldn't figure that out. 1 Corinthians 10:29. We have liberty. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Paul makes it very clear that all things are lawful. People, like at a family gathering, trying to get my wife to dress a certain way. His own conscience. People judge you by what they think. Our liberty, all things are lawful. Go to 1 Corinthians 8. He's fixing to do what? Am I going too fast?
I'm fixing to get judged.
Oh, you're fixing to get judged?
Yes. My brother's coming from Brazil.
Oh, great. Oh, nice. That's why you're studying up on him.
Oh, I'm telling you, this thing is just laying in here.
1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. All things are lawful, but take heed.
Yes.
You know, it's a little difficult. You know, if you try and please everybody, you'll never get anything done. But I think it's also important that you are careful what you do and where you do. You know, if I would go to my mom and dad's place, and I'd bring my cooler in there and pop a Bud Light out, it'd be horrible. Is it lawful for me? Absolutely it is. But I want to be careful, because, you know, we do have a testimony that we need to protect. And that's the most powerful thing, is how we got saved. And if we just simply trip them out that bad that they'll never listen. You know, that's why he says, be careful that with what you do, it's not a stumbling block. Okay, turn to Romans 14. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Personal preference. And I think when you have a personal preference, or I have a personal preference, we need to be careful that we don't judge the other person because they don't. Because we're ready to judge for it. Our sin has been judged. What we're dealing with here is the liberties we take, the liberty we have. So if you choose not to do a certain thing, so be it. But just don't judge the other person when they don't. You know, and you know, we all got liberty to be who we are, and we all get under each another's skin. But the biggest thing I come to the realization is, you know what? It takes a heck of a lot of grace to live around me. It does. You don't need to so heartedly agree. But you know, it's true. It's true. So, That was probably one of the most freeing things I've ever come across, is when I realized what for pain I am.
We all are.
But, so are you.
It is.
When you understand, and then I can give grace to other people.
Right.
I'd like to slap some people sometimes, but you know, really? It's like Troy was saying, he hates to listen to his own Bible studies because he thought he had more hair and he was skinnier. I said, I hate to listen to it because my mannerisms and my accent sounds weird, stupid. But it takes grace to live around me. Now, let's go see how to get this liberty. First of all, we need to understand what we are before that, so that we know what. Just follow me. Luke 18. I'm not as bright as Steve Atwood. He can just talk wide open, 99 Aaron. He has it all right all the time. Except on that one recording, he's got a couple verses wrong. Luke 18, verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Romans 3. Is there anybody good? See what I'm saying about it takes grace to live with me? Romans 3, verse 12. They're all gone out of the way. Actually, let's go to 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Romans 3, 9 to 12. They are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. If I can find Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? People say, ask Jesus into their heart. You know, Rhoda and I were talking about a gift today. You know how the people have this wrong idea of how you ask Jesus into your heart. How many of you go around asking for a gift? You know, salvation is a gift. It's not about asking Jesus into your heart. It's simply reaching out and taking what's available. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Psalm 14. Verse 3. 604. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Isaiah 64. Psalm 14, verse 3. No, 64, verse 6. 768. Man, I think I'm wrong. Mark, wrong. Oh no, Obed trying to teach you Catholics Bible. Six. It is handy to have the page number. It makes it quicker. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our own righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. It is. If you really, really grasp what it's saying about you, we need liberty, do we not? You know, if there's anything that I get angry about what I was taught, what I was raised as, is all the condemnation I lived under for years and years and years. Think about that. Every time I thought I got it, get up to that altar and it lasted maybe 2 minutes. And then the old boy was there again. Romans 3:23. Let's go to 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Remember, we were talking about how they want you to get you under the law. The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set before forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In our state, we don't have, in our lost state, we don't have the righteousness of God. But because of the faith of Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Our liberty is found in just a simple belief. Then we're justified freely, which is our liberty, through, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2. Here's the remedy. Here's how to get that liberty. That gift I was talking about. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if you think about it, Jerry Jones said this on Sunday. He said, you come Christmas time, it's really not a gift-giving time, it's present-giving time. Because if you give someone a Christmas gift in your family, and they don't give you one, that's a little ouchy. And it's almost a need thing to do back and forth. It's really not a gift exchange, it's a present exchange. A gift is strictly something that's there, free for the taking. Absolutely no having to repay. And if you think you have to get baptized and you have to join the church, you're trying to repay something. If you think you have to do anything, salvation by the cross has absolutely no human touch. Completely no human touch. Ephesians 2. Why do we have all this? Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. 2 Thessalonians 2. I always listen for when people say how they got saved. I always listen for the word but. That's when you really listen, because that's what they believe. I had a lady call me today. Or I. Yeah, or the word butter I. I had a lady call me today trying to sell me a spot on some kind of website, I think, for my business. And I said, is it free? She says, no, you know there's nothing free. I said, oh yes there is. I said, there's one thing in this world that's free. And I said, that's salvation. All I got was a nervous laugh. No words said, she just laughed. That's the only thing really that's truly free. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's another cool thing. The word everlasting means everlasting. people think they can lose it. No, you cannot. If you're saved, it's everlasting. And how is it? It's through grace. It's not through the law. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. For the love of God Christ constraineth us. It's again, it was given to us. His liberty was made available because he loved us. God's not mean. He loves us. Go to verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's freedom. I had a guy recently tell me, I asked him when his sins were forgiven. He said, when I confessed them. I said, no, I said, mine were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Well, he said, that was just the deposit. But the withdrawal happens when he confesses and repents them. And this guy is a youth pastor. And it makes me sad, you know, the deception, how people cannot understand that when God said he doesn't impute anything, that means there's no confessing needed. Because it's not imputed to you. He took our sins to hell for us. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ became what you and I are. You know, I just really am sad when people, when they have this liberty available and they live under this ridiculous bondage, thinking they're going to get there, and they know it's not working. You can ask any one of them how they feel. And they're not happy, because there's always that thing over their head of this possible sin that could separate them from God. Do they not understand? It's like Mark Rumfellow said in a message. He said, what is wrong with people that they cannot, why wouldn't you want this liberty? It's free. And you can right now, today, seal where you're going. You either seal it today, or you seal it when you die. And all the verses that we read, that's who we are. And I talked to a guy at church here yesterday, and his wife is a Pentecostal. And he's been saved a year now. And he said, I can't even talk to her about it. Why are people so hung up on their crazy speaking in tongues and all that goulash, trying to stay saved when you can just walk into the liberty and take what Christ gave you? You think you can add to something that he became you and went to hell 3 days? You think it's hot outside this past weekend? You know, I just don't. I was there, you know, because I was blinded. And, you know, it can get frustrating, but the best thing we can do is just use the Word of God as the authority and just go with it. It's just sad. Ephesians 2. And you, hath he quickened, verse 1. You guys need to get this ESPN. It'd be so much easier for me. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Were is past tense. We are dead to sin. Romans 6. Verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We're dead to sin. Ephesians chapter 2, again. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am sitting in heavenly places. And hath made alive us together with Christ. We were dead in sins, yeah. I'm already there. I'm just waiting for this vile, old, worthless body to either peter out or get raptured. Well, I won't get out. The old body won't get raptured, but I'm waiting for it to get out of here. How did Brian say? Steve said either under the clod. I'd rather go by the way of something instead of by the way of the clod. I forget that it rhymes with clod. It was interesting. Colossians chapter 2. Help if I go the right way. I was looking from the other side of Ephesians. Colossians 2, verse 11. Let's go to verse 9. And for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Did Christ take care of the body of the sins of the flesh? Yes, he did. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. If people could only understand that our liberty, in our liberty, we are dead to the flesh. But they just think this sin is such a big, horrible thing. They're so concerned about sin. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. I'll tell you that. They can have what they want to think. Romans 4, verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm thinking you can find those pretty much the same verses in Psalm. I'm going to try it. I think it's in Psalm 51. I think David said something of the same. Oh, it does say that in verse 6? Oh, yeah, he does. Is it Psalm 32? For some reason, I have Psalm 51. But anyway, Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David said that in Psalms. You know, David technically should have been dead for what he did.
Yeah.
Romans 10. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. pretty clear. That is Romans 4 verse 10. No, Romans 10 verse 4, sorry. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So is there a change there? Christ is the righteousness now. Romans 6 verse 2. I guess we did read that already. I'm trying to think why I have that twice. Okay. I want to read through to 11. Where had I stopped last time? Let's start at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him, that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. The penalty has been paid. That's why we can have liberty. 1 Corinthians 6. You know, one thing that I want to be really careful from, this is just kind of a personal thing that I have that I've tried to be very careful, is that I don't make the gospel complicated. Not to get caught up in all the deep things of Scripture. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff you can figure out and find out. But my main goal is for people to understand that the gospel is so simple that it's almost simple. Yeah, they all... Yeah, it's just too easy. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Here again is our liberty. All things are lawful. Oh, no, let's do this. Let's go up to verse 9. Know ye not that the that this is what flips a lot of people out. If you talk about our liberty in Christ, they will often come to this passage. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That pretty well covers me. So I'm toast if we stop there, right? And such were some of you. Past tense. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful, but they're not all expedient. Don't always bring the best results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's what you would call taking it out of context. Just like Jerry Lockhart said, there's a verse that frustrates him when people quote the verse, all things work together for good to them that love God. That's where they stop.
Yeah.
To them who are the called according to his purpose. I think I quoted that right. Yeah. But look at verse 11. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified. So do we have liberty? Yes, we do. If we're washed, justified, and sanctified, did he miss anything? Nope. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 23. Here he goes again. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Makes it pretty clear. For some reason he repeated himself again. I think he wanted to make the point very clear again that salvation has no human touch. If there's anything I want you to remember, I've listened to a message that Barry preached on the cross, and that's what one point he said, salvation has no human touch. It is just a simple for the taking. 1 Timothy 1. Chafin, I think you're going to get your wish. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, just exactly why do I have that? Oh, I know why. Verse 5 through 8. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, for which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. We go on and on. What did the law do? Oh, we can go read verse 23, but there is none in chapter 1. What is in that is the law is what pronounced someone guilty, right? That's how you use the law lawfully, is allowing it to pronounce everyone guilty. Our liberty is not found in keeping the law. The only thing the law did is prove that everyone was guilty. Galatians 3. I'm going to close with this one. Verse 24. Galatians 3, verse 24. This is true liberty. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're free. Liberty. That's all I got.